Well, good morning, Zion. Good to see you as always. Before we get into the message today, I just have a couple reminders for you. You may or may not remember these or not, but we have a service available called Right Now Media. So think Netflix for Christians. there's lots of Bible study things on there. There's things for kids and youth. There's things for particular issues. There's men for men only, women only. There are things with history, both American history, Bible history. There's just a lot there, and it's free for you. And so all you need to do is send me an email, joe@zionlife.com. If you can't remember, I might be able to look up your stuff. Let me know, and we can get you reconnected with that. And check it out. Have it available if you have a TV or a computer where you just have that app or link on there. You can get connected that way. And again, there's just lots of different information and things there for you on Right Now Media, and it's available for us all. The other thing, speaking of being online, is sometimes people ask, "Oh, I can't be there. We're going to be on vacation. Are the messages recorded?" Yes, they are. And so you can go on zionlife.com and click on messages. And you have to kind of filter through between, like, if you really want to listen to Pastor Trent, I guess you can, or Steve. But I'm there too. And so what we cover this our particular messages. So we are in a new series, and I've been looking forward to this one. I appreciated Zechariah, but we're now moving on to Broken People, Bold Faith, which is largely a study of Hebrews 11, which talks about how people trusted the Lord by faith. And so we're going to get into that today. You can see this picture, and I have another picture of something I've mentioned here before. It's a form of Japanese art, and it's called kintsugi. And it's a unique form because no single piece, you can't ever reproduce it. Because what it is it's broken pottery that's put back together again with gold. And so obviously things don't break the same way. And so they'll put these pieces together using gold and molding them together. It becomes more valuable even after it's broken. And so that's where we're coming from, is we, through Jesus, are more valuable, more useful, even though we've been broken. You could find kintsugi on Amazon. It's there. You could find your own kintsugi kit. Like if you break a pot or a teacup or something. I've never done them, so I'm not endorsing that. But we're going to see that we are pieces of kintsugi made more valuable, not just because we have faith, but on the person with whom we believe. But what we want to do is get a little context, fly over a little bit higher here for a moment, because, and again, it's something I know I've shared before, is that when the scriptures were written, they were not written with the chapter and verse numbers in them. They were added later so that we could find passages. And so we have to remember those divisions are not inspired. The only times we would say they are inspired, I would say, is in the Psalms, because every psalm is a unique standalone psalm. So that, and they're divided up by that chapter. You know, Psalm 1 and Psalm 1, Psalm 2, and so forth. So those division, yes, we could say are inspired. But as the author of Hebrews is writing away, he's filling up his paper. We have so much paper. We use tons of paper, right? Because it's so cheap now and it's so easy to get. Well, it wasn't that way for the ancients. They used every single bit, no margins. In fact, the early manuscripts of the scriptures didn't even have spaces in between the words because paper was so hard to get and expensive. It was a new technology, so to speak, for the Apostle Paul and Peter and all the writers of the Gospels. So we have to look at this passage, this chapter, in the bigger context. So what's in chapter 10? Well, it's about, he says, walk honoring to Christ. Endure hardship. Accept hardship. And as the early church, they were getting persecuted. He says, look, you got to hold on. You got to endure these hardships by faith. Don't shrink away. And so the question would then be, if you're reading this and you're thinking, yeah, this life is hard being a believer and we're getting persecuted, how do we do that? Well, over and over and over again, he says in chapter 11, by faith. That's the short answer. Then at the end of chapter 11, he finishes off and then says additionally, look to Jesus. Chapter 12, look to the author and perfecter of our faith as you walk by faith. Look to him. He's the one that is the end. So chapter 11 is sandwiched in between there to show us about what faith is. Now, this in very first verse, verse 1, he defines what faith is. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. So a couple characteristics that he lists there. And they overlap, right? Both of these concepts overlap a little bit. But the first one is the assurance of things hoped for. The word assurance is the word hypostasis, meaning nature or confidence. Later, in the letter, he says, for we have come to share Christ. Indeed, we hold our original confidence firm to the end. That's in chapter 3. Later, Jesus says to Thomas, Jesus said to them, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So we believe things even though we cannot see them. And they are hoped for. They are expected. That's the word of you're pretty sure something's going to happen. You're pretty sure you're going to be surprised if it doesn't happen. In fact, in Luke 24, remember where they're walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, but they don't know it's Jesus. It's after the resurrection. And he kind of baits them a little bit. Hey, what are you talking about? And he says, well, we're talking about Jesus. We were expecting him to be this political leader, and it didn't work out that way for them, but it's the same kind of idea. It's not a wishy or squishy kind of hope. It is a very sure idea. So it's the assurance of things hoped for. That's faith, but it's also the conviction of things not seen. That word conviction, if you're interested, is the word elenchmos. And it's evidence or an inner conviction. That word conviction is only used once in the whole New Testament, here in Hebrews. But it specifically means faith in God, the conviction of things not seen. Now, if I said to you, I believe that we have blue chairs, you would say, duh. Well, that's really sticking your neck out, Joe, to confirm that we indeed have blue chairs in here. But what if I said, you know, we have pink chairs in here. They're pink. Well, then you're going to start to process this. And you say, okay, he's not seeing very well. Is there something wrong with his eyes? Is there something wrong with his mind? Maybe there's some chairs hidden. Maybe there's some in the closet, in the cabinet, in the back room. Maybe there's some pink chairs hiding. And you would say, well, let's look for these pink chairs. And then you look all around and say, Joe, we're not seeing these pink chairs. I don't believe you that there's pink chairs in this room. That I don't have faith in what you're saying. Okay, but what if Jesus was here and he said, there are pink chairs here? Well, wait a minute. Now we're talking Jesus. See, now our faith is not in a fallible person, but in a perfect person. And the faith in what you can't see says, even though I don't see pink chairs, I believe it because Jesus said so. Even though I can't see them. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The world will come in and everyone says, you Christians, you giant people are nuts. There are no pink chairs here. You just believe it because Jesus said so. And we say, yeah. That's how reliable he is. That's how important his word is, that even though we can't see it, we believe him. There's other definitions of faith. I'm going to read them quickly for you by theologians. One commentary said, faith is that which enables us to treat as seen the things that are unseen. Faith thus relies upon God's promise and eagerly expects what is to come. Indeed, it lives for in the future. That's International Critical Commentary. Tyndale has a couple of definitions. Says faith is the title, the deeds of things hoped for. Deeds not as acts, but like a deed of a property. Faith is the title, deeds of things hoped for. He also says it's the person is so convinced of realities will experience, quote, living and effective power in their life because of their faith. Finally, Vincent says, faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on that fact, acts on it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems to contradict it. That's what faith is. We'll get back to that idea. But it's not just a concept. It's not just an idea. It's a way of life. And it's what we're going to be, again, studying over this summer of some people who exhibited faith, who believed. In verse 2 from Hebrews 11, it says, for by it the people of old received their commendation. People of old, the elders, men and women we read about in the Old Testament. That's who he's referring to. And it says they received commendation. They were noted for their faith. We see similar ideas in Acts 6 and Acts 10, similar expression. They had a reputation for people of faith. And they were commended for it. They believed the promises about Messiah and they lived according to it. If you jump down to verse 13 of this same chapter, it says these same elders, these people that we're going to be looking and studying, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised. So they went through their whole life and they never realized what they had been believing their whole time. But it's still real, even though they didn't hold on to it. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You think about their commendation, a pat on the back from God himself. And we've seen before, Jesus loved that. Well, boy, when he saw faith, there were people he dealt with, there were scholars, there were powerful people that he interacted with. He wasn't impressed with those things. Wealthy people, important people, didn't impress him at all. But if you had faith, that was something else. Remember the centurion? Here's a Roman. This person is not even Jewish, not even one of the same nationality of Jesus. And he has a sick servant, and he calls and sends a message, Jesus, please heal my servant. And so Jesus says, okay. And so they start on their way, and sends another message. Jesus, wait. I'm a man in authority. I get it. I understand it. You just have to say he's healed, and he'll be healed. And Jesus went, wow. Wow, I haven't seen faith like that even among the people of Israel. This guy gets it. He understood. Just Jesus had to say he was healed, and he did, and he was healed. He believed it. I love the story of, it's a very precious story of the woman who had that bleeding. She was bleeding, had a bleeding issue for 10 years. And the scriptures tell us she suffered over all different treatments and things. And as an Israelite person, there were issues of cleanliness. She wasn't allowed to participate in some of the activities of being an Israelite. And she couldn't really even touch people. They weren't supposed to touch her just due to some of their cleanliness laws. And there's Jesus walking in a crowd, people pressing on him. Everyone wants to get near him. And she thinks, by faith, if I just grab hold of the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. We don't know where she got that idea. But her faith wasn't didn't have power in itself. It's what the object was in Jesus himself. And she sneaks up there and she grabs hold of the hem and realizes that she's healed. And Jesus says, oh my goodness, where did that power go? Where someone touched me. And like, Jesus, everyone's pressing on you. And, I mean, there's like 20 people touching you right now. He says, no, there was power that came out. And she comes forward. She's scared. She thinks she's in trouble. And he says, no, daughter, I love faith. I'm paraphrasing. Be healed. I love faith. He commended her in front of everybody. There's other stories. There's also the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus heals 10 people with leprosy. Only one comes back. This one came back to thank him. It was, again, by faith. He commended them. God's not impressed with people being God, but something about faith pleases his heart. You've heard the expression brownie points, earning brownie points with somebody. If there is a way to get brownie points with God, believe, have faith, trust him. Another example for us, and you probably feel the same way, I believe in the return of Jesus as though he's standing right here. It may be in my lifetime, it may not be, it may be thousands of years from now, but it's going to happen. I believe it. That's an act of faith. So before we get into the people who trusted God by faith, they were broken people. They were just like us. They had their own issues, their own shortcomings. But yet God did great and mighty things through them. It's going to start with creation. So if you look at verse 3, it says, by faith. And by the way, each moment, you keep reading through this passage, through that chapter. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It starts with this one. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So it says God made stuff out of nothing, out of nothingness. The Old Testament saints, these people that believed, trusted God as creator. Even scientists today think about this idea, they call it the Big Bang, or I should say more physicists would be more accurate. And the theory is that there was this big explosion eons and eons ago, and the universe and the galaxies are still spreading out, just like as you explode something, things, you know, they explode, they go out. But what happened before then? What was before that moment where everything exploded? And the physicists will say, well, there was nothing. Oh, that kind of sounds like God. Now, whether God used the Big Bang or I don't know, I wasn't there. But the point is nothing was there and then he made something. So all the elements of the periodic table, the matter, our own DNA, this carpet, the rocks out in our parking lot, everything God made out of nothingness. He didn't just simply reform what was already there. He made it out of nothing. The opposite side of this, you could read in Romans chapter 1, where it says these are faith deniers. These are people who look at the world, the natural world, and creation and say there is no God. They deny he is the creator as well. He made things, not just the stuff, not just the physical elements, but he also made all the systems that control all of those things. Things like gravity. God made that too. Things that hold them all together. The aspects of nature. Do you ever think how handy and convenient it is that we exhale carbon dioxide and plants inhale carbon dioxide and exhale oxygen? We take it, we need oxygen, they need carbon dioxide. That ever sound like, wow, that's a coincidence, right? That's God. God put these systems together as well. Other systems. If we didn't have a moon, life cannot exist on this earth. In fact, Jupiter itself helps us have life on this earth. The Goldilocks zone, that distance from our earth from the sun, with our size of sun, is perfect for life to exist. God put all those systems together. What a coincidence. Except we believe by faith God did that. There's so many things that had to fall just right for life. And the world says, wow, that was lucky. After a while, that gets a little tough to believe, if you ask me. And there's more and more examples of how God put all these things together. It's not the only place here that mentions this. Of course, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is where Christians, by the way, need to focus on. So we could debate the issues of the nature of creation and so forth, but this is what separates believers from the world. God created or he didn't create. That's the big thing we hang our hat on. First verse, first words of the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. In other words, nothingness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. How about in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1? For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, invisible and invisible. Oh, so it's also talking about the spiritual realm, not just the physical realm. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through and for him. Our faith starts with creation. It starts with that very fact. If God is creator, and he is, it has a reflection in our life, a reflection in our belief system, in what we hold to be true, because he is indeed creator. But it often doesn't make sense. Sometimes we're believing God for something, and we put our trust in it and it doesn't happen. And we look at our circumstances and it says, where is he? Where are you, God? I've been there. I'm sure you've been there too. Maybe our feelings argue against our belief. I know this is true, but I just don't feel that way. We know things about God. We know that he is loving. And there are times when you think, he doesn't feel very loving to me. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe we sin, not maybe, when we sin. And we know by faith that God cleanses the repentant heart. It's like, I don't feel clean. But God says you are. When you confess your sins, you are. Okay, I don't feel that way. I know you don't feel that way, but you are. That's a statement of faith, to remember that part. There are other things. There's like getting back to creation, for example. I know there's lots of theories and explanations. You could even go on Right Now Media that I talked about earlier. Talk about, you know, what about dinosaurs? I don't know where they fit in the timeline of the world. Obviously, they existed. How do they mesh within a creation framework? Even the ages of rocks or mountains and seas and so forth. How did all this fit? Well, they could have their own, you know, the world could have their own biases and so forth, but it speaks against faith. I have a family member years ago, he still says it though. He says, quote, faith is not logical. And you know what? He's right. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. However, it has a focus. It's not just if I believe hard enough. You know those movies, if you just believe hard enough, your wishes will come true. It's kind of that underlying Disney theme. It's not a general wishing kind of idea. Remember, the focus of our faith is critical. It's him. It's God. It's who he is and what he has seen. God doesn't give us a blank check. Hey, if you just believe for $1 million, you'll get it by the end of the day. And obviously, if you don't get it by the end of the day, obviously you don't have strong enough faith. God doesn't give us blank checks like that. See, when we believe, we're believing in Him and what He says. So I know that if I die today, I will be with the Lord because that's what He said. That's faith. We say, I put my faith in Jesus. That means I'm trusting in His sacrifice. His sacrifice is enough. I can't see it. I wasn't there. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, but I believe it nonetheless, even though I can't see it today. It's real, but it's unseen. God Himself is faithful to His word and His promises. His resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, is the basis for what we believe now. I know I'm forgiven because Jesus came out of that grave. I know that I'll be redeemed, my body and my soul redeemed, because He came out of that grave. It often doesn't make sense, though. But nonetheless, it's like, but yet I will believe. I hold to that, even if the world contradicts it. So we respond. We choose to trust, to turn our trust to Him. If He can create out of nothing, and the focus here was creation, if He could do that, what else can He do? He's pretty reliable. Sometimes, though, as we go through difficult times, it stretches our faith. In fact, remember my example earlier about the chairs. Was it a big stretch of faith to confirm that we have blue chairs? I wasn't sticking my neck out at all with that statement. But faith does that. Faith is exercised to think, if I said, I promise you all, there are pink chairs in here. That would be a real big moment of faith for you to believe that statement. Because you can't see them and they're not around. Everyone would think we're crazy. Sometimes it's like that, walking in faith. The issue with our faith is that it grows when things are hard. It grows when the evidence speaks against our faith. That's when it grows. We just finished today. We did it today and also on our Tuesday night group. It's called The Deeper Life, and it's about finishing. Today's message was on finishing our life well. And there's a quote from the book that happened to be there from Daniel Henderson. He said, the comfort zone requires little faith. The comfort zone requires little faith. So if we want to see our faith grow, it's going to happen in those tougher times. There's another one I really like. It's the sailors don't learn to sail in calm harbors. You want to learn to sail a boat? Go out in the ocean in the storms. That's when you learn to sail. But it's frightening, and we don't know if we're going to make it. Having faith, or I believe in Jesus, is not a promise for a suffering-free life. In fact, if you want that faith to grow, it's going to happen in those times of doubt. And say, you know what? Everything shouts against my faith, but I'm going to believe anyway. It's being willing to be broken in order that something beautiful could be made. If we can extend that analogy a little bit more and say, we're pieces of kintsugi. Breaking hurts. And if we're lying there in a puddle of broken pieces, and maybe we don't even know where all the pieces are, and we say, God, You can put this back together into something beautiful. That's faith. By faith, this is what we'll do. And it's what we'll see, as I said, over the next summer. Most of the time, we'll have a couple times where we'll talk about some of the offerings and feasts from the Old Testament as we've been doing this year. But for the majority of summer through Labor Day, we're going to be in this chapter, looking at people like us, Abraham, Sarah, Noah, Isaac, Moses. And we think they're just bigger than life. No, they're not. They're busted up people just like us. And they believed. and they believed. Maybe no one will write a story about us that people will be reading 2,000 years ago, but God will remember. Faith is not just a noun. Remember your English grammar? Nouns are people, places, and things, right? Verbs are actions. Walk, talk, live, cry. Those are all verbs. Verb is a noun, or faith is a noun, but it's also a verb. It has action with it. We're going to see regular broken people who practice faith. They believed. They trusted. Those are synonymous. The question then for us as well is, what is God leading you to do? What's he leading us to do as a church? And as I said earlier, it's not like God gives us a blank check and we can fill in whatever we want. He has veto right, because remember, he's creator. But if he's going to trust, he might trust us to do something. And you know what? It might fail. Might say, oh, God, we trusted you for this, and it kind of fell through the ground. We used to have a ministry here called Celebrate Recovery, and we tried it for several years. And after a while, just no one showed up. It failed. But we still felt God was leading us. By the way, it's not just us. I was just talking with a group this past week, asking, what do we do? No one's coming. And I said, at some point, you might have to close that door. Churches close their doors. And so that's not a failure. That just means that time might have ended. Well, we trusted God that that's fine to trust him. But God has the ultimate, you know, again, he doesn't give us that blank check to get whatever we want. Even good things, even things we think are right. He's believable, though, for his will and his word. When he has said something, it's true. When he has predicted and prophesied things to come, they will indeed come true. So what is God leading you and I to do as a church or individually? And then even deeper, what is he leading us to be? I look at some of these prayers of the Apostle Paul. Boy, that we might be filled. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that a huge prayer? Wow. And we pray for things. We pray for healings. We pray for financial things and relationship things. And those are all good and valid. But man, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I almost wish I had an echo. God, God, God. God can do that. He can fill us with all his fullness. Doesn't make us little gods, don't misunderstand. But we could be made like that. Wow. That's a big, audacious prayer. Leading us to be more like, to be like Jesus. To respond the way he does. To have the grace that he did. The love that he did. Boy, I want that. God can do that. So it's not just what God is leading us to do, but who he's leading us to be. Let's spend some time in prayer over these things. First of all, maybe, as sometimes we do, maybe a one-sentence prayer. You can pray this out loud if you like. The Lord has earned our faith and trust. He really has. Or maybe he's spoken to you, while I'm not perfect, I will trust to the Lord to use me for. Maybe it's a situation at work, within your family, in a difficult situation, and you need God's power and intervention in your life to make him known. Or maybe there's, a difficult situation, and you're saying, I know he's creator, and because he is, since he's creator, I can trust him to make something else. Something brand new. So let's spend some time in prayer together as a group. And then we'll continue our worship and song together. Pray out loud if you like, and I'll close us. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, we here collectively as a group acknowledge you as creator. We could make things, we could put things together in our workshops and our kitchens, but we're starting with something. You started with nothing. You made everything that is seen and unseen out of nothing. That is against the laws of logic and physics, but nonetheless you did it. And so we acknowledge that. I acknowledge that today. And I pray as creator that I trust you for some wisdom, for some family issues that I'm not sure what to do about. So I pray you would create some wisdom and insight in my mind to know what the right and godly thing is to do. If you can make my brain, if you can make understanding, then certainly, Lord, you can give me insight for that. I want to do the right thing. I want to do what you called me to do, especially with this particular issue. So, Lord, and I know there are people maybe that they are dealing with some hard things, and they're having trouble believing, saying, "Yeah, but this is really tough." Lord, I pray that you would help them to see that you are beyond sight. You are the faith in you is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And even if it doesn't make sense, Lord, we pray for the grace and the power to obey and to follow and simply believe that you indeed can be glorified. You can be honored through this difficult situation, through this need, through this request. And Lord, we want, if you ask anyone, any believer, you say, do you want to grow in your faith, Lord? We say, yes, we do. But Lord, we're often not willing to go through those tougher times. But you never leave us alone. You never abandon us. And so we, by faith, would love to see more and more of your work in us, even though we're broken. While we're broken, you are not. And you are the one who makes something brand new. And we, again, believe you for that. In your name, amen. Again, as the worship team comes up, Right Now Media, if you can't remember your logon or you need information, my email is joe@zionlife.com. joe@zionlife.com. Send me a note or say, hey, I want to get on there. We'll get you a link and everything for that. Reminder, too, for Penn West Camp donations. I think we have about another month of those. Thank you for those. Many people have already helped with either gift cards or cash and so forth to help camp as well. And then last week, made the budget available, both the shared budget for all three Zion Church campuses here, Clarion and Brookville. Those are the expenses that we share. That's why we call it a shared budget. And then our individual budget here as a campus is back there as well. You don't have to be a member or a covenant member to look at that or ask questions. It's just that's when we come down to the vote on the 29th. That is reserved for covenant members. But any of you are perfectly welcome to ask questions about that. Just let me know. And then if you remember back last winter, we did add the new heater and air conditioner and had the big repairs. And many people asked, hey, can we contribute toward that? If you haven't, now is the time, because at the end of the fiscal year, end of June, we'll add up all our expenses and all our income, and whatever is over, that goes back into our I can't remember the name of the account now. Whatever our savings building fund account is, whatever we have extra goes into that. So we have a month if you like. Even if you think, you know what, for the next few weeks, I'm going to contribute a little bit more, those add up. So encourage you to seek the Lord's face on that. Finally, don't always promote these because there's always a lot of these particular events going on. But this particular one, there's a connection with Zion, so I thought I would mention it. So a lady, she's actually our neighbor, and also I know the Blys are know her, and then, was it Tammy, you were mentioning it as well. Her name is Kim Beam. She is going through cancer treatments right now. So on Saturday from noon to 5 at the VA Lodge in Brady's Bend, they're having a spaghetti feed and, you know, some of the usual things, some of the baskets and raffles and that kind of thing. So if you're thinking, what were we going to make for dinner on Saturday or lunch, then that, again, is at the VA Lodge in Brady's Bend this coming Saturday. I don't know the donations amounts and where those are, but I did want to mention those. Let's continue our worship.